You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is up, Paul's to the Wall listeners. This is your host, Mike Paul. Just wanted to give a little bit of a heads up about the month of September. We, as a podcast, have gotten orders from the boys upstairs at Paul's to the Wall Incorporated to take a 30-day hiatus of all things politics after this particular episode. You know, it's just exhausting. Not fun to talk about at certain points, and, you know, the world's going to hell, and that's all true and happening and whatnot, but it gets pretty exhausting, and it's not very fun to talk about all the time. So I think it'll do us a healthy service, it'll do all of you a healthy service to talk about fun topics. We're going to put out episodes talking about other interests of ours. I got a couple planned that are automotive-related. Tyler may talk about some two-way equipment and whatever else he chooses. Nick's big time into jiu-jitsu, MMA, you know, who knows, Bigfoot, Loch Ness, who knows? I don't know. Nick, he's a big boy. He can pick whatever he wants. But, yeah, it's just a good time to clear our heads and you know, us not paying attention to politics for 30 days isn't going to stop the authoritative takeover going on in the world. But in the meantime, we can have some fun and talk about other stuff. So, yeah. So what else is going on? Oh, yeah. We may get Dave Smith on the show. Got really close. He agreed to it on Twitter. I asked him, and he said, sure. Then I said, cool. Who do I contact to arrange this? It's been 3 days. Haven't heard anything back. But it's a strong maybe. Maybe not. It'd be cool if we did. Not a big deal if we don't. But hey, it's something to look forward to. Maybe that'll happen next month. I will say, if Dave Smith does get back to me, we'll make an exception and we'll talk politics when he comes on. But yeah, that's about it. Kind of burned out of politics. I mean, I got into a fight with my wife's aunts on Facebook while I was using my wife's Facebook, so they thought it was her, which was hilarious because my wife is not very political, even though she agrees with most everything I pitch to her, and she's really getting interested now and does align with our beliefs. However, you know, it was all started over the – she put a filter of Unmask Our Children on her Facebook profile and had a couple lefty aunts come at her, and – I went full Tom Woods on her ass, and I like to think I walked away with the W. You know, she got ratioed pretty bad. It was a pretty proud moment. It's kind of fun when you watch the people on Twitter, you know, and you follow Liberty Twitter, and you're hanging around engaging and following the Liberty heavyweights all the time, and then you go to Facebook, and take on a, you know, boomer lefty ant. It's a, you know, it's not really a fair match, but they can be kind of fun. It's kind of like it's like scratching poison ivy, you know, debating your wife's flower child aunt on Facebook about politics. It's like, you know, you shouldn't touch it. You know, you should just leave it alone. You know, if you scratch it, it's just gonna get itchier and spread and get angrier. But oh, good Lord, when you are scratching it, it feels so good in the moment. But it's not an ideal situation for anybody. So it's a great time to take a break. However, this episode is with the cast of Tower Gang. We had Toad, Nick Ashley, and Fat Dave Smith. See, we're getting really close to the real thing. Got the Fat Dave Smith out of the way. Got a strong maybe from the real Dave Smith. So we're shitting in some pretty high cotton these days over here at Paul's of the Wall. We've come a long way since our humble beginnings. But this episode with Tower Gang, great podcast. You guys should check out, like, and subscribe their podcast as well. It was a blast, and this is supposed to be episode number 69. Because although we are adults, we sometimes have the sense of humor of 14-year-old boys. However, if you look at the feed, it's actually not episode 69. It's episode number 65. But, you know, I miscalculated my scheduling. What can I say? All right, but I'm going to pretend it's episode 69. You're going to pretend it's episode 69, and we're not going to have any problems. And we're going to chuckle about it like school children. So without further delay, please welcome the boys from Tower Gang.
All right, guys, we are live with the long-awaited, highly prized episode 69 with the Tower Gang guys and Nick Ashley, who's like kind of, he's like the Ari Shaffir of Tower Gang. Is that, would you describe it that way, Nick? You're no, like, I'm you're the, like Ari on Legion of Skanks.
He's our
I'm the one that makes all this shit happen. What are you talking about?
he's the Jew really. And he's the president, so he is Ari Shaffir.
I never thought about that. That is a great he is definitely the Ari Shaffir. Comes in, causes chaos. That's about it.
No, I think my favorite podcast moment from this year was the Fakertarian stream where Nick did the whole Burger King shtick. It was amazing. I love that.
Thank you. That was fun.
Okay, so to kick this off, I wanted to get your guys' opinion. I know Afghanistan has been kind of talked to death, which is a shame because I think the most interesting stuff is kind of coming up. So this article from CNN, this is to me like the great Darwin Award. There are 24 San Diego students who are stranded in Kabul, Afghanistan with no way of getting out. And to me, that's like natural selection at its finest, right? I mean, like this past year, you couldn't like fly to other states in the U.S. or it was like highly frowned upon, but you can go into a war zone where you know that soon the U.S. is going to get pushed out. And like, there's, I guess, like 10,000 people, Americans, that are stuck in there and we're supposed to feel bad. And I don't hope they die, but I mean, again, natural selection.
Dude, wait, what the hell would I
do?
How
cheap must that schooling be, or how amazing should it be that there you could go there to get like fucking your schooling done? That makes no sense to me.
Wait, which school is it again?
University some of San Diego.
San Diego State, some like, maybe?
I think it was college students. I think it was San Diego State.
All right, well, there are a bunch of, coastal liberal elite college students, so fuck them all.
Oh, I thought they were going. I thought it was Americans like picking the University of Kabul, and they're just like, "Yeah, I want that in my alma mater."
Yeah, like studying abroad. Really...
Dude, you said 10,000
petroleum engineering program over there. Not even joking.
10,000 liberals, just eliminate them all.
10,000?
Is that what you said? I thought you said 10,000.
I've heard like 10,000, 15,000, and then this CNN article says 1,500 Americans stranded. So
Americans total. From the school, you said 24, right?
Yeah, 24 from the San Diego school.
Jesus Christ, neither of y'all listen. So you see what I fucking deal with?
I'm a little...
Not only that, but I wanted to say... No, it's up, Tyler. I'm sorry, man.
To the party here. What are you talking about students in Afghanistan?
You cut off really badly.
Yeah. Did I?
Yes. Students in Afghanistan.
So now that the Taliban's back in charge, I would assume that feminist studies is probably not going to be the most popular major anymore.
Well, it's,
no, it's because... all the it's just beheading classes now. They're just like,
well, the thing is, they're probably better off where they are right now to the Taliban, the women especially, because if they were to, well, actually all of them, because if they were to come back to the U.S., they'd be forced to all wear burqas. And I think under the Taliban, they just have to wear, the women just have to wear hijabs and the men don't have to wear anything on their face. So,
yeah, you know, dude, it's a bastion of freedom. Unironically,
the Taliban's doing a bunch of shit over there where they're like getting rid of, they're like, no vaccines, no masks, none of that shit.
I saw somebody posted, they were like, the women are now required to like stay inside or something like that. And so I was just like, oh, I guess they are going to do lockdowns.
It's different. It's different. We do it.
Yeah.
Dude, the other thing,
for a bad reason.
Yeah, exactly. But the other thing that's been a red flag to me, I know a lot of people have been speculating like the conspiracy angle that they made it look really bad. So people have like this, oh, ending a war is bad thing. And I know a lot of people have talked about like how we left all of the equipment behind, like Humvees. So now like the Taliban's riding around in our vehicles and everything. And to me, it's like, okay, it's too expensive to ship everything home, but you couldn't just have like every soldier just like take a glove full of sand and pour it in the oil port to sabotage the vehicle. Like it's been, like 20 seconds and it's free because there's like no shortage of sand in Afghanistan. Like it would be like no work at all.
I love how the idea that a handful of sand can take down high-tech military equipment. They're in sand all the time. What do you think? How do you think that works?
I don't think sand is good. I think it's got to be sugar in the gas tank, right?
He said I think sand in the oil port.
Yeah, but the ironic thing is, the ironic part is that that's what Obama did for cash for clunkers. Like, that's what they did to the cars that got turned in. Perfectly good cars that poor people could have bought. They poured silica sand down the crane cases and destroyed them. So it's kind of ironic you thought of that because we did it to our own people.
Yeah, but they did that because of Keynesian economics.
Right.
They didn't do it out of any, you know.
It's crazy to think that that was an actual thing that happened, was the cash for clunkers. Like, I was too young. Like, I'm only 25. So, like, when it
was cash for clunkers. Yeah, I was in 7th or 8th grade or some shit like that.
Yeah, and I remember it happening. But then you look back on it now and you're like, oh, wow, we really did just give money just to anybody that wanted it for their cars. And then we just destroyed them. For no reason.
They outlawed cheap cars for poor people.
They actually gave the cars to the Taliban, I'm pretty sure.
They allowed them to trade them in for Hiluxes.
Before we were on the air, I wanted to address something that I was brought to my attention. I'm in group chats and shit right now on Twitter, but I'm not really on the timeline at the moment. I'm taking a break. But somebody brought to my attention that Toad, in the announcement tweet that we were going to be on this show, or that he and Cole were going to be on the show, he said, "What's up, Towerheads?" And I'm telling you right now, if you ever do that again, I'm going to slice your head open like a watermelon. Because we do not need to force a name. We're not, what the fuck is that podcast? Lions of Liberty. We don't need to force a name for our fan base, Toad. Please don't do that ever again.
I've done it on the show before.
Towerheads?
You have never done it on the show before. I've been on every show except for one, and I've never heard you say Towerheads.
I've mixed it up. I've called them Towerheads. I've called them lovers of letter phalluses. I've called them faggots. I don't know.
Faggots, dude, is good. Faggots.
It sounds like a Chinese guy trying to say Towerheads. Like, those damn Towerheads always breaking down the wall.
It works on a lot of levels, man. It's malice-esque, all right?
It is the farthest thing from malice. I'll just tell you that right now.
The only thing you have in common with malice is that you're both manlets.
Wait, Fat Dave, you're only 25?
Yeah.
Dude, how tall are you? Because you look like, I mean, I'm, you have like 8. The shape of your head. No. You have, you look like you're,
you didn't see the picture
six
of me?
6'7". No, yeah, I didn't see. I've only ever seen his head.
Yeah, I took a picture with him and I tower over him.
Yeah, we met. We met up at a Fusakli's, which is a pretty good like little chicken place to eat at in my where I live at. Because he's going to his new house, and I was like, I right when I saw him, I just tweeted out, "Damn, he's tall." I was just because Nick is just like he just looks way different in person than he does on the stream.
My camera is weird. Like, my camera makes my body look a lot smaller because there's like a fisheye thing going on with it. So it is, yeah, I look really weird on camera, on this camera at least.
But yes, yeah. I'm pretty short. I'm only 5'8". I'm 25.
Dude,
so.
You for some reason just like I don't, maybe it's your lens or like the shape of your head. You look like you're like 6'6", 260, and you play outside linebacker for the Niners.
It's because he's fat Dave Smith, so everybody thinks that he's as tall as Dave Smith, just fatter. No,
yeah, everybody really thinks, like, especially when they see me, they're like, you're not fat, and I'm like, it's not a real, like, I made this up. Like,
well, you know, so,
what was your, like, how did you think that idea up? Because, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, I was dying. I wasn't even on Twitter yet. Tyler screenshot it and texted it to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is glorious.
It wasn't, so I believe the first person to do it, so I think Ludwig von Mises' pieces actually made the art, and then Cam Harless, I want to say, was the one that tweeted it out, and it was just like, someone just like put Dave through a fat filter, and I thought it was funny, and the only reason I got in on it to make the account was we were watching part of The Problem live, and a buddy of mine in Tower Gang, Rogue, who's a really good, he's actually one of the few British libertarians, was like, hey, man, you really need to make, like, you already do one parody account, which was not really, but it was Nota for POTUS. Whenever Starwalk lost to Nota, I made a account called Nota for POTUS to, like, and I trolled, like, Starwalk all day, every day. And he's like, you do good on that one. Just do like, a fat Dave Smith account. And I was like, all right, fuck it, I'll do it. And then it just kind of blew up, and I was like, oh, shit, okay, I guess I caught onto something. So.
It had become bigger because it became a meme in itself right before that. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
Cam Harless did a face app. Yeah, of Dave.
I thought it was, but Ludwig von Mises Pieces, I think, did the one, like the biggie one, because Dave is the libertarian Tupac, so he made this fat one. Dave. Oh, you're wearing the shirt again.
You're wearing
the
shirt again.
Honestly, I'm wearing every screen, dude. I love this shirt. Shower.
I thought I was a narcissist.
Yes, I wear my own merch. and my wife got me, I stole this on our stream on Monday, my wife got me this, and then she just got a matching one in the mail today, so we're gonna show up to Tom Woods 2000 like a fucking bunch of bosses.
Oh, you should have worn you should get a damn Hawaiian outfit for a Tom Woods 2000. That's what I'm doing. And
what,
I got
what
other
could be good
to
is this plus a Hawaiian shirt over top, I think. So basically, and I think that would look pretty nice. And we'll, and then also shorts, jean shorts. Is that what he has a problem with? Or
just
said
shorts
in general?
Shorts. Yeah.
Okay, just shorts in general.
But I'm just gonna get some of those like regular old khaki shorts or something. Not khaki, but you know the shorts you wear with a Hawaiian shirt.
I feel like he would really hate jorts. I feel like jean shorts would really fuck with
him. That's what I was like.
Cargo shorts like, look better though, so I don't know.
Dude, so yeah, when's Time Wins 2000?
Really, it's October 16th this year.
Okay. That's in Orlando or something.
Yeah, it's going to be in the place in Orlando.
It's going to be pretty crazy. I feel like, I mean, Yao apparently was great. Childeberg was great, and Toad went to
Pork Fest.
Pork Fest, but I think Tom Woods 2000 is going to beat them all just for like one day, like the one day festivities.
Yeah.
Be better.
I don't know, man. Is Tom Woods 2000 going to have like a rave tent filled with ecstasy and like a nudist area and a stripper tent?
He's literally a Catholic. What do you think?
Yes.
It's just going to be a tent full of underage boys, and we get to go in there, and there's going to be a priest. We don't get to diddle him, but the priest definitely gets to diddle him.
All right, you did good. Stop tacking on to the joke call. You'd be in Toad right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's my thing.
And what Malice said, that there's going to be some surprise guest. I'm curious to see who that is. Some people have speculated like Jordan Peterson. I have no idea why it would be Jordan Peterson, but I bet it's going to be something good. Somebody that Malice has like... Tom Woods and Jordan Peterson?
No, Michael.
Michael Malice. Yeah, yeah.
They're buddies now.
Well, yeah.
I feel like Jordan was talking about the economic show, right? Together?
Huh? Tom and Malice.
Tom
do Woods. That.
Tom and Malice. Yeah.
Well, they've been friends for a while now. Them too. Yeah. I just met Jordan and Malice, but there was this clip going around of Jordan Peterson talking about the economic calculation problem, socialism, recently. So
yeah,
I mean, who knows? Maybe he's getting into libertarianism and Austrian economics.
Like as cool as it would be to Jordan Peterson, I feel like that's still not like cool enough. Like I feel like Malice is going to be like, I'm going to do something to. I honestly think it's going to be Alex Jones.
Maybe
I think
he's just
going to
come in a mass shooting or something.
I know. I think if Alex Jones came in there, it would literally, I mean, go to another, because I don't think Tom has ever interacted with Alex Jones at all. So I think it would be, and I know Mouse and Alex Jones are pretty tight too. So I think that would be literally the best.
Yeah, dude, I want to say that Tom Woods was on InfoWars like 10 years ago or like in 2009 or 10 because he was talking about Meltdown, like his book. Correct. So yeah, no, they are boys.
Oh, okay. So that would be,
they're familiar at the very least.
I'm going to call them boys.
Okay. Tom and Alex.
What did Malice actually say, though? He said he's going to bring a surprise guest that will, like, blow people's minds or something? Is that what he said?
He just said he has a surprise plan that's, like, going to be incredible.
Yeah, like, he said
it's going to be, it's gonna be George W. Bush.
Honestly, that would be awesome. Be
Donald Trump.
It's John McCain's brain.
John McCain's tumor, actually. It's just a tumor out of the brain.
It's like pickles.
Well, today is John McCain's tumor day, right? So we're
that's why I said that, yeah. Toad.
Yeah.
For the love of God. You're not going to fuck with you, buddy. I love you.
You know what? What about I'd even be okay if Tim Dillon showed up dressed as Meghan McCain.
Oh.
She fucking hates him for that.
Good.
Like, I think she blocked him on Twitter after he released that skit. Like, it was like a big deal, and like people were trying to roast him in the comments.
Well, because she's a big fucking baby. Like, God. Yeah. Some of the tweets she had today were absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely horrendous. Just, I mean, she made the one, I mean, whatever, it's her dad. She can say she misses him, whatever. But, like, the one, she posted one that was, that said, if you don't go to war over dishonor, or, like, if you, it was a Churchill quote, and it was like, it'd be dishonorable to go to war, or you go to war over dishonor. And I was like, that's the dumbest quote I've ever heard in my life. And also, Winston Churchill is just as bad as McCain. I fucking hate Winston Churchill. So,
Yeah, dude. Travis, if you listen to his firsthand account,
Travis said in the comments that he's like, it's going to be Jeb Bush.
and everyone, he said, wait, Travis also says, and everyone will clap. Thank you. I love you, Travis.
But going back to that
special guest, it's just low energy Jeb.
Did you guys listen to Jordan Peterson's Bitcoin episode he did?
I didn't.
No.
No.
Dude, it was
Dave Smith, so.
Yeah, Dave Smith's one was good.
Dude, yeah, I was going to fucking do that. I was going to put Dave on the spot because I want to get him on my show at some point soon. And I was like, I got a bunch of friends that have always going after Dave, not going after him, but being like, Dave, do a Bitcoin episode. So I was going to like have him on the show and just put him on the spot. Like, yo, I got some people I could refer you to. I was going to have him. Guy Swan was one of the ones I would have recommended. Guy Swan, TLE Carr from Timeline Earth, or Rollo McFlugel. Those three guys. Yeah. Who I've met all three of them at Childerberg, so that's why I was going to recommend those three guys.
Yeah, and Rollo just did a debate on crypto on the Lines of Liberty, which I think is probably going to be out next Monday, maybe, or the following Monday. He debated John Odermatt. I forget what the actual resolution was. I haven't watched
it. It's out. The resolution was, should you put it all into Bitcoin, which is kind of like an ominous, like, you know, big question. I haven't listened to it, but I saw it was out.
John Odermatt is probably going to be taking the negative on that one, I would assume, because he has millions of income streams. That's what he's known for.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I wouldn't put it all into Bitcoin. I mean, I would at least put some into like some other coins. But I mean, if he was like all into cryptocurrency, I feel like you could make that argument. But just Bitcoin itself, I don't know if I would put it all into that one, even though it's probably going to still go up. But
dude, I've been more convinced recently that like it is inevitably going to take over. Like, what's his name that was just on Part of the Problem was making
Guy
the case
Swan?
For Guy Swan. Yeah. And then, dude, even listening to the guys on Jordan Peterson's podcast, like they were giving him like the most hardcore pitch. And then Peterson's like actually listening and then putting it in his own words, like,
you know, so we have this problem of centralized currency becoming inflated. Well, yeah, it's not a bad impression. It takes a lot of time and work.
But I did that. We had Stephen Hicks on the show, who has been called Jordan Peterson's like mentor on postmodernism, and it was like a very serious episode. And we do episodes like this where it's like chill, laid back, and then we also do like serious interviews with like intellectuals. And we were talking to him, and I'm like, I'm just gonna go for the joke because I'm like, oh, so you're Jordan Peterson's mentor on this? And he's like, well, I introduced him to this, 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 and that, and like the term neo-Marxism. And I'm like, Oh, so you're the reason I've heard so many times, like,
the bloody neo-Marxist, the postmodernist.
And he's like a very serious guy, and he's like friends with Jordan. And he just like cracked a smile and then stopped. And I'm like, oh, shit, I don't know if that landed or not. Like, Mike and Heather were laughing, but.
I'm glad you did it. I enjoyed it.
No, that's great. Which, by the way, like, my biggest thing with Bitcoin, it's not even about the monetary thing. And, like, this is, like, what Peter Schiff always, like, rails about. Is his, like,
it's Peter,
like,
what? Oh, it has... Excuse me, say that again? Peter what?
Peter Schiff.
With a T.
Okay. Yeah, he said Peter Schiff. Did I hear that?
I'm sorry. Jesus, my bad. Honestly, I couldn't give a fuck about him. So, whatever. Peter Schiff.
Hey, Reed's about Peter to have him on.
I know Reed's about to have him on. But he's always, like, Bitcoin has no actual value because it's not, you know... tangible. But my biggest thing has been Bitcoin's biggest value is just a description of property, of like who owns this. It is the best way to see who owns what, because it's constantly being checked. I think it has like its value just within that.
Maybe Travis.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't just state that something doesn't have value, because value is subjective. So it's like, okay, like that's what you think. I don't know. That's just not a.
But it's like, I guess you can say that gold has value just because it, and platinum and silver and all these precious metals, because they can be used, you know, for actual other things. But
yeah,
Bitcoin in and of itself can be used for literal contracts and to define property. And I don't know if there's a bigger thing that matters to libertarians than that in and of itself. So.
I think that it's because he's a boomer and he sells gold. I think that's what it is. Yeah. That's literally all that it amounts to. He's smart. He's smart enough to make arguments that are in his favor, but I think it's just because he's a boomer and he sells gold. That's his thing. So
basically, he's reached his conclusion and he's just working backwards. He's just pretty much.
I'm not even joking. Like that, I'm serious.
No,
like,
I'm sure that's what it is. It makes sense, because just the way he's always been against like cryptocurrency has been just really weird from a guy that is supposed to. Is he an Austrian economist?
Yeah, he's an Austrian.
Well,
yeah, dude.
He's a financier.
It bums me out, because it's like Peter Schiff is so good on like explaining QE and like all the stimulus and government programs. But then he spends half the fucking recording just talking about gold and shitting on Bitcoin. And then the other thing, making predictions, where it's like, dude, just stop saying it's going to happen next quarter. Like, you don't know that. Yeah, it's gone on for 10 years.
He's Chicken Little, dude. Every month, the sky is fucking falling.
Ever since 2008, ever since like he predicted it first in 2008, and then after that, like he's just like, all right, this time I'm gonna hit it again, baby. And then he hit the lotto once, and he got a good jackpot on it for real. He did a good job. And then he was just like, now he's just spending all of his jackpot money on playing the lotto again. And he's just like, I'm going to hit it this time, baby. And he's like, one more time. Here we go.
That's perfect.
I mean, that's the knock on him, that he's a perma-bear. But it's just, if you're an Austrian economist, I mean, or if you're any economist, but if you're an Austrian, you know that you can't predict exactly when something is going to happen. You just know that it is going to happen, and you know why it's going to happen.
I wouldn't say any economist, though. Definitely not.
Oh, all right.
A lot of them think they know exactly everything that's going to happen.
Well, no, I'm saying that none of them, even Austrians, can predict exactly when something is going to happen. But
I thought you were saying that all economists know they can't predict the future.
I did not word that well.
Okay, right. Yeah, my bad.
But
Schiff, I got you.
I mean, he describes the business cycle better than most people.
If you read
his book, that's like the, what is it called again? How an economy grows and why it crashes. It's like a cute, pretty quick book. It's a pretty good explanation of the business cycle. And it's like a play off of his father's old book.
Yeah. And it's made so like 12-year-olds can understand it, like talking about people stranded on an island.
Yeah.
But you know, at least he's in the big picture. He's right. Like the inflation's going to happen. Then you got guys like Paul Krugman that say that the inflation is transgender. You know,
can I just say something? I'm really autistic about this. But when people talk about inflation, I get aggravated. And Dr. Jonathan Newman has done a speech about this, and he wrote an article about it for Mises.org. The true definition of inflation, which is just an expansion of the monetary base.
Yes.
Inflation causes monetary depreciation. Monetary depreciation is not what inflation is. Inflation is just the more money being created. So whenever people talk about inflation, they're like, oh yeah, inflation rose X amount. Like, we have a 4% inflation. It's like, no, inflation has caused a 4% rise in the price of consumer goods. Get it right. And I'm like super autistic about that.
Yeah, I think
I read that article. That was a good article.
It's like he does a little 15-minute talk on the Mises Media YouTube page.
I learned that from Peter Schiff.
Have you seen the shrinkflation stuff? The like shrinkflation.
That's been happening forever.
Too. I know, but that stuff is like weird too. Like, and there's a whole like Reddit thread. Like,
dude, the Gatorade fucking Powerade bottles went down to 28 ounces for the same price. Like, so do you know what's shrinkflation? Yeah, that's all it is. Whenever products get smaller or lesser for the same price.
It's funny that you brought up the Gatorade bottle, because I was actually just going to mention that when we were in, I played football in high school, and this would have been like 2011. We had this big like 7-on-7 tournament at Northwestern University in Chicago, and they like Gatorade was there, and like we were their focus group for the new bottles, and they're like, tell us what you think, like fill out the survey. And I like looked at it to the Gatorade reps, and I'm like, it's 28 ounces. I'm like, give me 32. They're like, and they had no response. They're just like, so does it feel good in your hand? I'm like, there's my
that's what
ounces.
I'm thinking about when I'm exhausted playing football.
Was this when they were coming out with the nipples? With like the remember the nipple?
Twist them. The sport bottle.
This Gatorade bottle feels really good in my hand. Right.
I was going to say, like, I need those other 4 ounces in the Gatorade bottle when I'm hungover, man. The fuck are they doing? I'm looking out for my best interests.
If beers start being 10 ounces instead, I'm gonna be furious. I'll just say that much. Yeah. They do make 10-ounce beers, but I'm gonna be furious if like that becomes a standard. I'll pay more. Give me the 12.
Damn, when we were in South Dakota, Tyler, remember they had 24 packs of Miller Lite with 16-ounce cans? Like it was massive. I'd never seen that where we live.
Jesus.
Yeah. I was like, damn.
It was a fucking brick. It was awesome. I was like, this is what freedom feels like.
16-ounce cans, man. The tall boys.
Well, that was like, that was like
dude,
I saw
my biceps got a workout.
Heavy lifting.
Well, that was so like bizarre. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it was like I saw today that some restaurant had like a sign up, and it was said if we had prices based upon the price of silver in like 1920, it was like a hamburger was like 10 cents. Or something like that, and like a drink was like like literally a tenth of 1 cent. Like it was something crazy. It was like, okay, we've just gone so far down, like where I think I got a hamburger the other day. No, I got literally a hot dog and a milkshake, and it cost me $10. I was like, this is bullshit. So, I was like, I can't.
That still sounds really low.
I know that Pete Quinones wrote a really good article about that for the Libertarian Institute. And he was saying that, like, had we not, you know, printed so much money over the course of all these years and the prices of commodities risen so high, that the house costs, the average price of a home wouldn't be like $40,000 or $45,000 if we kept it at like 30s or 40s level of money supply.
Yeah, probably and 30s like average, before FDR fucking seized all the gold.
Yeah, yeah. Don't even get me started on that guy.
I'm sorry, like, that's probably where the benchmark was that I'm saying they said. That's my guess.
So I think the average home price in the U.S. now is like almost $250,000 now.
That sounds about right.
I can't believe it.
Well, that and then Nixon in the 70s, like completely did away with the
what happened in 1971?
The gold exchange or whatever,
Dude, shout out Jack Dorsey. Yeah, right. But think about like the opportunity cost that came from all of the inflation. Not even just like, you could buy a house for a lot cheaper or like, you know, food. But think about like how our parents' generation had like a bunch of kids and our grandparents. And then now it's like couples. It's like, you know, like we're 30 and now we're going to have our first kid. And we'll have like one or two. It's like, think about your work. Yeah. It's like, think about what the workforce would look like if people were like financially stable enough to just like have big families, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, and then who knows what those little kids that are never born would have invented that would have changed the world. So it's like, it's crazy shit when you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, it was like eight kids.
I'm doing my part.
Dude, we should all be married at 20 and fucking raw dogging the whole time.
Well, they literally would have like eight kids, and then just the dad would work like it was like a 9-to-5 and eight kids, and the wife would stay at home, and they would be like fine. They would have a house, they would have a car. Yeah.
She'd have dinner ready for them and a beer open.
Exactly.
That's not, right when he gets in the door.
Another thing I don't see spoken about is that monetary
like the value of money going down and interest rates being so low, you have to have 401ks are tied to the stock market. You have to have investments. The average person didn't used to have investments like that, which is why people are so fucked and people can't retire no more because their money just loses value sitting in the bank. If it's interest in a savings account, a long-term savings account is like 0.25%, well, money depreciates faster than that. You're not going to make any money. You're going to lose money at sitting in. So you have to have investments. You have to have it in the stock market, which is way riskier because when it crashes, people's 401ks are fucked. So that's another thing. People can't retire no more because of that. So it's ruined the family. It's ruined all kind of shit, the whole monetary policy of the past 100 years.
I also think that feminism was an op because they wanted 2 taxpayers in every household instead of 1.
Oh,
I'm holding the line on that.
And diluting the labor pool. You know what I mean? Like you double the supply of labor, it's going to bring down wages or at least stagnate them at the least.
Especially shitty labor.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. That coincides with the rise of the HR department.
Yeah.
Can't even have fun at work no more, man.
And also companies will get a lot of employees that they don't have to pay as much.
Yeah, that's literally what Nick just said.
Oh, you did?
There wasn't that much sexual harassment because they also just stoned the gays back then. So it was just a bunch of guys in the workforce. Like, even they were.
Dude, that'd be fun to go back to, like, what is
stoning
the
gays? I know. No.
But yeah, no, I mean, you know, people used to, like, in the early 60s, I feel like that was, like, really prime America. You know, like, when you watch Mad Men, it's like they wore suits, they went out for martinis at lunch. You know, you could say, nice dress, Karen, and it was cool. She's like, oh, thanks. You know, who knows how she really felt, but that's the impression
she's a woman.
I get.
Honestly, why is she out of her home? What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, there's no HR department.
I don't know if I can pinpoint exactly when it must have been within the last 5 or 7 years or so, because I probably in like 2015 I could still do shit like that. Like, we play like Fuctionary in the office or something, which is a game where you have to identify sex glossary terms. We did that in the office. We did telestrations, which is like telephone, but you're drawing something. So you draw something, and then the next person has to guess what it is. The next person has to draw their guess. So like, I got something that I guess was like a thing, like it was a crate of milk, I guess, or something like that. I wrote, it's a box of dicks, and then I just sent it to this chick. And it's like, nobody gives a shit.
Toad is just really different. His office also just, they would also eat a bunch of blue chews and then sword fight afterwards. He was like, he's not the normal workforce.
Well, I forgot to mention that I worked at a sex shop.
Oh, yeah. That's
true. No. This is actually a training program.
He's like, you got to try out this new pocket pussy. It's amazing.
Toad, I think you're right, though. It's probably about 5 to 7 years, because that's when, like, the older generations, they would still make comments like, oh, I wonder if the curtains match the drapes. And, like, all of a sudden,
the curtains
everyone
are
was walking
the
on eggshells.
The carpet matched the drapes.
You know, like, everyone, carpet matched the drapes. My bad.
Why is everyone wrong but me all of a sudden? I'm the retarded one, guys.
When did Occupy Wall Street happen? Like 5 or 7 years ago? Yeah,
2011.
Like, yeah.
Oh, 10 years ago. But then you started seeing like that change over
because
from...
of Trump.
What?
The media changed because of Trump. I'm telling you, the way y'all talking about that shit. I think Trump broke a lot of people's brains the way he was, because it
in
just
2011.
You're saying 5 to 7 years ago. I said Occupy Wall Street happened in 2011, but more of it probably changed because of Trump.
I understand they shifted from like that's when you start seeing it. Like, I mean, this has been pointed out a bunch of times, but like the racism.
Yeah, Dave
like,
Smith.
Right after Occupy Wall Street. Yeah, right after Occupy Wall Street, like talks of racism and like feminism just shot up right after that. It's like it's not just a coincidence. Like, and then you start seeing these HR departments start getting cracked down and stuff like that.
Dude, yeah, also, you remember like 4, 5, 6 years ago when it was like Ben Shapiro and like the intellectual dark web talking about how far left the universities are going. And it's like a lot of those people, the ones that did get jobs that didn't have gender studies degrees, went into HR, and then, you know, they started implementing this shit. So it's like just coming from all angles, where it's like media, universities, like forcing this shit right now, and nobody's on board with it. Like, there really is a silent majority in this country that's like not cool with mask mandates and, you know, walking on eggshells with like any comment you make at a corporate office. It's interesting.
And doing ethics training on George Floyd's death. You know, there's people like at a screw manufacturer. They're like, why the fuck do I need training on why, you know, police brutality? This has nothing to do with anything I do making fucking screws.
It's the white women. Like
that's,
yes,
oh, yeah. Dude.
It's the white women. And it's also just that the silent majority, I mean, and like understandably would be afraid of losing their jobs. Like they're like, okay, we don't like what's going on, but this HR person can literally fire me and then blame it on, you know, racism or sexism. And then they're totally justified. And then I'm never gonna be able to get a job again if they ever check with my old company or
right. Somebody
asks, like, basically I'm fucked. So might as well just go along with it. But the problem is the next generation, that's just the new normal. So like whatever the previous generation already happened to, the next generation, it's like, oh, that's just normal to go into your work and have to be, you know, the same way as my dad was doing, even though the dad didn't like doing it that way.
Yeah, like as of 2020, I guess, like my company's doing unconscious bias training. Now we have this like diversity program where they report every quarter on the racial breakdown of new hires. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like that is racist. Like what are you
extremely
doing?
The thing is, you can't just say that they're racist. Like, I don't know. They don't care about being hypocrites. Like, that's the problem.
Right. Yeah.
They just don't.
They own it.
Well, I mean, the same people that were saying, like, I see, you know, it really bugs me when I see, this is just an example of people trying to call it hypocrisy. Calling out hypocrisy doesn't work. Other people aren't consistent. Like, the whole thing where people are... They'll post a screenshot of two tweets and like the background is a picture of the person, but transparent-ish. And it's like one of the tweets is them saying, I'm not taking this vaccine because it's Trump's vaccine. And then the next tweet is like from 7 months later where they're like, if you don't get vaccinated, you're literally Hitler. Like shit like that. That doesn't work. Like if calling out hypocrisy is a thing of the past. It's just, it's gone.
Well, from my personal experience, I've had people tell me that being consistent is a detriment. You should be inconsistent. That way you can be right on more things. It's like, it's not about, that's what I've been told. This is like, it's not about your main principles. It's just about each situation is different. So you can change. It doesn't matter if this one time, what you say contradicts this other time, what you said, because in that situation it was more, but it's just like, they don't care about, they think inconsistency is actually a better option than consistency.
Like, by definition, you're going to be wrong about half the things though. Like,
but they say, well, in this situation, I'm right.
Now you just keep pandering to the crowd you're talking to.
Yeah. Now it's basically modernist bullshit where you're just creating your own reality.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you know who the best at that is? Dancing out of like hypocrisy is Biden. He's a master at it. And he doesn't even, it's not even like he has a playbook or anything. It's just that he's confused as to what he's talking about. And people are
he
like,
just walks
it's
away.
Like, yeah, have you ever been in like a shitty part of town and there's like some guy with a gas can asking you for money and he's got some like fangled story where it's like, I don't know what's going on. I just got to get out of this situation. I feel like Biden does that with like reporters and stuff. Like when he did that was 4 days ago, 5 days ago thing a few days ago. And I like, cause my wife isn't really into politics. She doesn't like keep up with everything like I do. So I use her as a focus group to try Biden lines on. So the other day she's like, it was on a Sunday. She's like, you forgot to bring the recycling out Friday. And I go, I'm like, that was 4 days ago, 5 days ago. And she just sat there looking at me like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, what does that have to do with anything? And second of all, it was 2 days ago. And I've also used, I've used Palmist, I've used Matakafka, and it just like whatever situation you're in, you're out. Cause people are like, I don't know what's going on with him. I'm not even going to try.
By the way, after he did say the 4 to 5 days ago thing, and I know the reporter said like, no, that was 2 days ago. I've never seen what happens after what was said after. What was said after that? Because I like usually I like the clip shuts off, and I don't know what happens after. Did Biden just go meh?
He called him a male monkey.
He just said, like, "Come on, man."
He started talking about
"Come on, man," and
moved push-ups.
He called him fat.
Yeah, let me say, listen, you're fat. It was 4 to 5 days ago, fat, all right? And then it's okay.
He says it with such, like, confidence, though, that you stop and you question, like, I mean, he's got a point.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, like, maybe. I mean, it's in the past. I mean, it's just people falling off an airplane, you know?
Yeah, dude. I have this like instinct when Joe Biden says, come on, man. I'm always like, all right, shit. Okay, man.
Maybe
like,
get a point. Have this, yeah.
Like, all right, I'll get off this guy's ass. He asked nicely. Like, he's,
by the way,
you know.
If I gave you a bet before, like if I said, like, I'll give you $1,000, if the thing that Biden doubles down on is getting out of Afghanistan, would you have taken that bet?
Fuck no.
No,
I would not either. And then, like, and then do everything he can to, like, defend getting out, too. It's such the weird, I've never seen it happen, of a president doing his damnedest to get out of a war.
He tried, though. He did the wrong, because Scott Horton talks about this all the time. He was like, all Trump had to do was say, I didn't lose this war. Bush and Obama lost this war. Biden did that, but with Trump instead. He's shifting all the blame onto Trump. It's like, all you had to do was say, this is George Bush's fault. Well, not anymore, because after, you know, after every president, they're like, oh, I miss George Bush. It's like, okay, you fucking retard. Do you forget why we're here in the first place? It's all his fault. But, like, all Biden had to do was, like, this is George Bush's fault, dude. He didn't even have to throw Obama under the bus. All he had to do was throw Bush under the bus and say, this is his fault. We should have never fucking been there for 2 years, let alone 20. Like, come on. But he fucking went over and started blaming Trump and everything. It's like, well, you kind of fucked up.
Well, it would be really funny if he blamed Obama. He was like, this fucking... He's...
I was dropping on the House floor, Senate floor, whatever.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? That's just kind of swept under. Those are my...
He was quoting somebody, but he did say, oh... I don't know if I'll say the n-word on our podcast because I don't give a fuck, but I don't like saying other people's podcasts because I'm afraid that I don't want to get them taken off. I'm fine if we're getting it, but he said we're not going to have an n-word like mayor or an n-word counselor or some like city council. That's basically what he said, but it was quoting somebody else. But
he did a Papa John.
We can't say the n-word on this podcast to get a Bluetooth sponsorship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the threshold. For that.
Yeah. That's like once we're shooting sponsors, for that. That's when
sponsors. Yeah.
Sell off the man.
You want a sponsor? We need to lose the sponsor.
Unless
yeah, we need
Papa
to have
John's.
An epic like Tiger Woods fall from grace.
We lose everything. John's sponsor though. It's still all good.
Yeah. Not Papa John's. We just want Papa John.
I might drop out here real quick.
All right, but now, do you think that Trump tied Biden's hands a little bit as far as getting out of Afghanistan? Because Trump had made the deal with the Taliban, essentially, and he had started to draw down to the point where I think we were down to like 2,000 troops in the country or something. So I don't know if Biden would have been able to like escalate again very easily. Because the American public is definitely against it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think he set a trap there for him.
Well, I mean, do you think that was part of the decision? Like, I mean, it was like such like a vastly unpopular war with the American public, and his approval rating is sinking. So, like, you know, maybe getting out of that might raise his approval rating.
Right, but the establishment is pretty clearly against what he did.
It's true. But the thing was, like, they just if they would have followed the deadline and just done, like, I know that the withdrawing period is good in my opinion, like, and I know that a lot of people are fighting about how it was done. Like, it was never going to be pretty. There's no chance it wasn't going to be ugly in some capacity, but it could have been better. It obviously could have been better, but that's not the point. But if we're talking about it, I'll say, like, if they'd have stuck to the, was it May 1st or May 31st deadline,
May 1st,
like, they had plenty of time to start getting these people that are stranded there now. They had time to do that. And if they would have honored, the Taliban specifically said, if y'all don't come out of here by May 1st, we're killing people. Like, they said that. And then whenever they didn't withdraw by May 1st, Taliban was like, all right, game on. But I don't know whatever happened between then and now, but they had their day and they could have done that. So between January 20th, between inauguration and May 1st, that's ample time to start getting people out of there. So regardless of if Trump did tie his hands, which would have been a good thing, obviously, like tying someone's hands to make them pull out of a country we shouldn't have ever been in is nothing but a good thing. They fucking botched it as badly as it could have been botched. Like, they didn't do shit between January 20th and now. All of a sudden, they're just pulling out and pulling. It's like, that's not how you do it. But I'm glad they're leaving it at all.
even though it obviously could have been better. But y'all get what I'm saying. Like, all they had to do was follow the plan. Yeah. That was the point. Yeah. That was the point of having a deadline so you could start doing shit.
Right. Dude, am I the only one that got, like, collapse of the empire kind of feel from how Afghanistan was done? Like, I mean, because, okay, they're printing money. Like, there's not a worry in the world. Mm-hmm. But do you think that, like, inside the establishment, they're like, okay, we need to start cutting costs somehow and preparing, like, for a soft landing? Like, I think it's possible. I don't think they're not smart enough to do it, but that's kind of the vibe I got from it. Like Soviet Union in 1995, right. Like kind of feel.
Yeah. The Soviet Union had to admit defeat at that point, but the Soviet Union was also massively communist and the US is not. So.
Their economics would have destroyed them anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But
I want to ask, what does the US look like after a collapse? Does it kind of go in the same way as Russia did? Like the Soviet Union collapses
I don't think it'll be that violent or anything. Like, this is the thing. A lot of, like, these people that are wanting a collapse, like collapsitarians or whatever, like, I just think that I don't think it's going to be that bad. It'll be bad for people in terms of, like, certain shortages, but I just don't think that we're going to see fighting in the streets and shit like that. And if we have any of that, could it be that much worse than what we've had over the past couple of years anyway?
Dude, I mean, think about, like, unemployment checks, Social Security getting cut off. Like, that's the only concern I have. Like, I think the economy itself, like, the market will charge on, and it might even be healthier. But, I mean, that's what I worry about, like, the entitlements mm-hmm. running out in, like, big cities and shit. I think that could get ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. The CEO of Pfizer is just going to take over as the ruler.
After the Soviet Union, wasn't it, like, run by, like, the mob for, like, years? Yeah. Wasn't Russia, like, run by basically the mob? I wonder if that's kind of like what happened with each kind of city has, like, either some kind of weird quasi government, like, mob that runs it. But basically. It was okay.
Or it wasn't from the state level, maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, we kind of got that already. I mean, our governors and stuff are basically just mobsters right now.
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of weird, like, when you just look at just outside of, like, food prices, like, and you just kind of look at, like, I don't know, like, I'm a huge sports fan, and I'm trying to think of what happens after a collapse, and then we have these sports teams. Like, I don't, maybe that's just stupid, super stupid by me. But I do think about this, like, what happens, okay, like, do they just not have sports anymore in America? I don't think that happens, because, I mean, we're going to have some type of...
What if...
Did Russia ever lose their hockey team?
Then what if during a collapse, and they just allow sports gambling, and sports gets even more popular?
Yeah, that's true, too.
Nationwide, everyone starts gambling, they pay to rig games, athletes can use steroids, whatever. Let it go.
Dude, we get the best sports ever. That's right. So awesome.
We got 600-pound juiced up steroid heads hitting 500-foot home runs.
This is how we should actually push 200 miles per hour. Don't push the collapse this way. It's like, hey guys, yes, you might lose your jobs, but we also get, like, juiced up, and we got to see what LeBron James looks like when he's actually taking steroids. I mean, can you imagine?
He's not already. Come on. As if he's not already. Yeah, we're going to get Mark McGuire 3.0, not even 2.0. Like,
can you imagine Mike Trout on steroids?
As if he's probably. You think he's not on steroids?
Mark McGuire.
Baseball.
I think they're all on steroids.
Mark McGuire got surpassed, right, by Barry Bonds, didn't he?
Mark McGuire what?
If you're talking about the home run record, he got surpassed by Barry Bonds, right?
Well, no, but I mean, Mark McGuire, he fucking averaged like 45 a year. He had 586, and he only had like 1,700 hits. The man was incredible.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. Incredible at roiding.
Steroids are amazing.
Are you guys... Are you guys football fans here?
Yes.
Like NFL fans? So how do you guys... I'm like a diehard Chicago Bears fan. I have been since I was like 3 years old. Yeah, it's rough. But so I don't know where to draw the line with, like, you know, voting with your dollars and, like, tuning out. Like, I stuck around last year through all, like, the BLM social justice stuff, and I just tuned it out. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then this year they've got, like, the color-coded wristbands for vaccination status. I said the V word again, damn it. But it's like, I don't want to support it, but I also, like, just want to cheer for the guys who are based that have the yellow wristbands. I mean, where do you guys fall on that?
God. It's so hard because I do love football, and honestly, NFL might be my favorite. I'm a big college fan, but like NFL, like I'm a big Denver Broncos fan, which I was really close to tweeting about today because we made a quarterback decision. I was pretty upset about it.
Drew Lock sucks.
Who are you a fan of, Cole?
The Broncos.
The Broncos. Why the fuck are you a fan of the Broncos?
my grandpa was from Denver, so my dad is kind of passed down to me.
It's
but like,
it's Fat Dave joined the Mile High Club. That's why.
Yes, that's what it is.
All Fat but Dave. Did you hear about Jay Cutler speaking to the Bears and Broncos?
Yep.
Oh, dude, so Jay Cutler's base, dude.
Yeah, he is. Oh my god, dude! And he gave the smoking most Jay Cutler. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, he gave the most smoking Jay. I don't give a fuck response to getting dumped by Uber Eats for his anti-mask stuff. He's like, I don't really care.
Wait, hang on. What the fuck did he have to do with Uber Eats?
So Jay Cutler had an endorsement deal with Uber Eats. Like he was doing commercials for him. Yeah, and then he tweeted something about the governor of Tennessee barring mask mandates in schools. And Jay Cutler's like, oh, good for Tennessee. And then Uber's like, we are on a mission to get all of America the COVID thing, and we are not interested in working with people who aren't aligned with this. And Cutler, so they dumped Cutler, and then Cutler tweets out, he's like, cool by me, sort of frees up my weekends. Plus, I prefer to cook at home. I prefer to cook at home anyway. Yeah. He says, I prefer to cook at home anyway. Like, the most.
That's great.
He is amazing. I fucking love Jay Cutler. I need to follow him on Twitter. He is so amazing. Just from like, just his whole outlook on the NFL too was basically like, yeah, I have a good arm. Like that's basically all I need. I'll just go out there. I'll sling it around a little bit.
Me and my dad always said Jay Cutler, like he's as talented as they make him, but he just thought football was gay. Like he's like, I don't really feel like doing this. You know, football's kind of gay. But dude, as time goes on, he's becoming my favorite Bears quarterback. Like the guy had an arm, you know, he's fun to watch. He just didn't give a shit.
But going back to like the vaccine stuff with the, and like, like using like, you know, voting with your dollar. Honestly, I illegally stream everything I watch anyway. So because like, I'm not gonna be able to watch any Denver games in Alabama. So like, I'll just illegally stream it. But like whatever was happening to like DeAndre Hopkins, whenever he came out and was just like, this is really dumb, I don't want to take the vax. And then he just got trashed on social media. It was kind of mixed, but it was just like, I don't understand why y'all are doing these guys. And I really hate it. And I hate the fucking NFL, the no fun league, but
yeah,
I'm still going to watch my Broncos. I won't watch your ads. I'll legally stream it. I'll do the same with, you know, the NBA or something.
That's what you do. You just don't let them have your money. That's what I do. I don't watch anything except for MMA anymore, but I stream it all.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because it's like football and stuff, like those are like an escape, like escape from politics and everyday life. Like, and they just take that away from you and make it activism and shove it down your throat. Like, I mean, I stopped watching a couple years ago, but I mean, I still love the sport of football, but I've kind of had enough of it too, where it's just like, I want to get away from this stuff. And you guys just like jam stuff that I disagree with down my throat and on my kids, and I don't need to give you my time or money.
Yeah, but there's also the thing where it's like, I'm not going to let them. Yeah, no, the UFC has been solid.
Dana White is, yeah.
Well, except for the no fans in Vegas.
That's not them, though. That's Vegas. Right. That's not UFC doing that.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
You think Dana White wouldn't have fans if he had the choice?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Hey, did you guys see a few pay-per-views ago? Trump was in the crowd, but the ESPN refused to show him.
I didn't know
that. Wow. That's so bizarre. Petty.
Yeah. Trump was front row. You could see him in the corner. He's in like the front row because you know him and Dana White are boys. And
is that when they were in Florida or something?
Yeah, I think it was. And they wouldn't show
him. Jacksonville recently, I think, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was front row and they didn't show him.
Didn't ABC do that while he was in office? Like when they showed Home Alone 2, they cut out the scene where Trump was in there, and they're like, "Oh, it was a save time for commercials." It's like
it was. I think in Canada,
second thing.
Canada, they did.
Yep.
Okay, all right, that's a little different, but still, it's ridiculous.
Canada,
dude. Trump actually saved. Trump helped save the UFC back in like the I think late 90s, early 2000s. Like they were getting like John McCain was on his crusade to end human cockfighting instead of actual genocide. And yeah, so Dana or Trump was like hosting the UFC fights at Trump hotels because it was radioactive back then. People looked at it like, you know, cavemen just smashing each other with clubs.
Which, by the way, if you look back at the old UFC, like at the beginning, it was pretty bad. Like whenever they, I think at the beginning, I believe in Pride too, when they first started, you could still like kick to the balls.
And, you could never do that in Pride.
No,
you couldn't do that in Pride. But in the original UFC, yeah, there were really no rules except for the referee would stop it when he was like, okay, that's enough.
You could still do like knees to the head on the ground.
How is that any worse than taking a wheel? You didn't see the knockout the other night where a guy did a fucking wheel kick?
Spinning. With 5 seconds left on the clock.
How is getting a knee to the head on the ground any worse than that? That's like getting hit in the head with a baseball bat by a fucking power hitter.
And the other thing is fighters will learn to adapt. Like, in Pride, fighters learn to adapt. It's like, okay, if I'm on the ground and bottom, I'm just going to move so I don't get kneed in the fucking head. Like, that's just part of the game now. And if I get clocked in the head, I get knocked out.
Yeah, there wasn't that much of it. And it's not that worse than being in a Muay Thai clinch and having somebody fucking knee you in the face like that. It's really not that much worse. It's the same fucking... It's all brain damage at the end of the day.
Okay. But, I mean, would you rather have the other brain damage of your balls? Like...
My favorite clip from the early UFC days, I can't remember who it was, but there was a fighter that was, he was on top in side control, and the fighter on bottom was holding onto a guillotine from bottom in side control, which it's never been finished. Like, you just,
that's how you get a damn darst. That's how you get darst.
you can. Well, there's a Von Flue choke that's really,
that's what I mean. Von Flue, I'm fucking retarded.
Right. So, but this guy was, he's on top in side control, he's getting guillotined, and he just starts wailing on the other dude's wiener, just hitting his
Joe's son. That's what his name, Joe's son.
You got your MMA history down.
Wow. Yeah, he hit him like 3 times in the balls.
Yeah. Oh, it was brutal.
Or whenever they would, like, there's that clip of the huge black fat guy, like, I'm talking fat guy versus
Emmanuel Newton. Probably.
Yeah, they're just
fighting. Oh no, Emmanuel Yarbrough. I'm sorry, Emmanuel Yarbrough.
And the fat guy just keeps trying to like get him on the ground and just like basically lay on him, and he can't. So like they did some crazy shit back in the day.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the first ever fight was kickboxer versus sumo, and he kicked the fucking dude's tooth out, and it landed on Jim Brown's desk. So like you watch the UFC one, it was Brian Kilmeade was there. Brian Kilmeade, like from Fox and Friends, like Weekends or whatever, was like the color commentator, like interviewer guy. But yeah, there were some fun ones back then.
There was George Superfoot Wallace was the main commentator. Jim Brown, the football player, was in the color commentary. Yep. And I don't know who the other guy, Brian Kilmeade. I'm not sure who that was, but yeah, I remember there being three people.
Oh, dude, you'd recognize him.
I forget the guy's name, but yeah, he was a French kickboxer, and there was a big old sumo wrestler. He kicked his teeth out. Yeah.
He's hurt Rogan.
That was way later. They had one where Art Jimerson, a boxer, wore one boxing glove fighting Hoist Gracie, and Hoist got him down and got him into full mount, and he immediately tapped.
I remember that too.
I remember watching that also. Obviously, not old
enough.
Yeah,
his idea. So I mean, we're a couple years apart, so we weren't alive for either of this or old enough to watch. But yeah, his idea with the one boxing glove is he heard this guy was a grappler, so he's like, I'm gonna jab him so much that I'm gonna end up breaking my hand, but I want one free hand to be able to grab. And it was just the dumbest game plan that's ever been devised.
What's crazy too is like when they used to like nobody at that time were wearing the spandex shorts, and so like they were all just wearing whatever they really wanted to, and so you had the guys coming in with the gis on, Hoist, and then finally who was the one that beat him and basically was using that to their advantage, like using his gi as leverage.
That's just kind of a thing you do in jiu-jitsu. I don't know who beat Hoist in the UFC, but
Matt Hughes was actually the first guy to beat Hoist.
Matt Hughes was
I don't think Hoist lost in the UFC before he got out of there.
He won the first three.
I don't think he ever lost. I could be wrong about that.
And what year was it that ABC did that documentary calling Ken Shamrock the most dangerous human being on the planet? You remember that? Was that like that had to have been after UFC 3 because Hoist Gracie won all those.
Yeah, he lost. He lost to Matt Hughes.
Yeah, but they weren't. Okay, he wasn't in a gi for that. That was in the more modern era where he was.
Oh yeah, it was in 2006.
Yeah, that was when he was. He wasn't wearing a gi for that. I think that there was a fight with Kazushi Sakuraba where they went for like a full 90 minutes.
Yeah, and the Gracie killer
in Japan.
That's who I was thinking of. That's
they,
what I was thinking
like,
of.
Like, it was a stalemate. They were both really good grapplers, and they neither of them were given any ground. Like, it just was a stalemate, pretty much. I think he technically lost the fight with Sakuraba because he technically gave up. He lost. TKO corner stoppage. Yeah. 6 15-minute rounds.
I want to say that was the crazy fight that Hoist said he couldn't see, like which is bullshit. Like I was so tired that I lost my sight and I told my dad I cannot go on any longer. I'm pretty sure that's what he said, which is bullshit. You don't lose your sight from being tired.
No,
I don't know. 6 15-minute rounds.
That's brutal.
At the end of that, I don't know what kind of like they have never tested a human that far before.
No, you could grapple. You could grapple that much, Nick. You've probably grappled for hours, huh?
I had a submission only match that was no time limit like 5 years ago, and we went like 43 minutes. That was rough.
Well, that's hard, but you could do it. Like, you could survive.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, like, I mean, that the thing was, Hoist just, I just think he knew he was gonna lose because Sakuraba was a fucking. They didn't know he had him figured out. Like, Sakuraba was a Japanese catch wrestler. This was like say uncle type shit that Sakuraba was doing, and they're like, wow, he had the fuck, he could figure us out, and nobody could call. Because the thing about the Gracies was Hoist wasn't even the best one of the family. It was always Hickson, the older brother, and Hoist was like the smallest one, the least physically imposing one. And I don't know if this is true or not, but there's the rumor that like the thing that they say is like they sent Hoist because he was the smaller guy, and he's like, we're not even gonna send our best guy. Our shit is so good, we're gonna send the runt of the litter to beat all y'all asses. And then he won like 11 fights in a row because nobody knew what the fuck jiu-jitsu was. He goes over to Japan and fights this Japanese guy, Kazushi Sakuraba. I'm like, how the fuck does this guy know how to do this shit? This is crazy. So I think that's what it was that he knew he couldn't beat him, so he's like, well, you know, we'll say I can't see.
You know, so there's no video of this, but have you ever heard the story about Hickson Gracie? And it was either, I can't remember if it was Mark Schultz or Dave Schultz, whichever brother is still alive. They fought on a beach in Rio de Janeiro in the 90s. And they fought for like 2 hours and then eventually just like called it a stalemate, like an Olympic wrestler and the greatest jiu-jitsu guy ever. Like, I would pay to be a fly on the wall for that.
Dude, I can imagine the chafing from all that sand.
Yeah, that'd be brutal.
Damn, fuck.
Yeah. How'd you grapple in sand? That's so stupid.
2 hours of grappling in sand. Yeah. Like, the middle part of your balls. I mean, they're just going to, I mean, you honestly. Like,
dude, people pay for that. It's microdermabrasion. You go to the spa for that shit.
It's not micro when a dude has your like basically your head in his crotch. And
he's trying to choke you out.
He's trying to choke you out. It's not micro anymore.
You wind up getting sand in your pee hole, and then you have to like pass it like a stone.
No, that wouldn't happen.
I was going to ask you, beans. Nick has Nick Ashley. Have you gotten any recognition from Malice yet for the white women must be stopped thing? Or is
he was doing a live stream and I was the first super chat. I super chatted $5 just to ask, because this is the story that I think it happened. I don't think he remembers it, but Drew Hancock, who's my boy, love Drew. Shout out to him. He makes videos and he featured me like in one of his videos. The clip of me saying on the Tower Gang show, white women must be stopped. And Miles watches Drew's videos. And so we think that that's where he got it from. Or maybe he saw one of the tweets. I don't know. Because I super chatted Miles today. I was like, hey, did you get white women must be stopped from that clip in Drew's video? I'm the guy in the clip. And he was just like, I don't remember where I got it from. I don't know if it was on Twitter. It might have been the video. I'm sorry. But if it was you, Mazel Tov. So that's fine. I don't care. I'm just like,
cool.
It's just funny because I've seen him
get mad at other people for not crediting him with stuff that he said, like progressivism or conservatism is progressivism driving the speed limit. I've seen people use it, and he scolds them for not giving him credit for it. So I'm like, if you if he genuinely doesn't remember where he got, I really don't care that much. I really don't. Right. It would be cool, but if he genuinely doesn't remember, I care even less. You're right. That's what they
do. Dude, it's just such potent, just awesome rhetoric. You know, it's just like it kind of triggers like this. Oh, did you just say something taboo? And then it's like, no, white women. It's just, it's so perfect. It sticks in your head. You can put it on a bumper sticker. I love it.
Yeah. I don't even care about the tab. What bothers me more about it, and I've spoken about this before, but every time, not every time, oftentimes there's some white blue check, or not even blue check, but like wannabe blue check on Twitter acting up, and somebody will say it on Twitter, white men must be stopped, and tag me. I'm like, why? Like this, why? Why are you dragging me into this? I don't know this person you're arguing with. Why are you doing this to me? And like, it's just, it's all right. It's what it is.
It's not because they want you to get into the argument. It's to give you credit for the white women must be stopped. That's what it is.
Well, they'll do that, and they post the book edit I made. The original thing that I made, White Women Must Be Stopped, like with me, originally it was Rothbard on the cover until I realized like I could put myself on the cover because the book is the original book that inspired that design, or it was a direct edit from that design of An Enemy of the State by Justin Raimondo, the little biography he did of Rothbard. Mm-hmm. And so the original covers. The original one is White Women Must Be Stopped by Nicholas Ashley, but Rothbard is on the picture. And every now and then I'll see that and be like, oh, here, have the updated copy, the second edition with me on it. But people will post the image, and if you post that, it's got my name on it. You don't need to tag me in it. It's fine. Like, it's, you know.
It's hilarious. I love it.
Dude, I love it. They do need to be stopped. So I saved that, the Rev B edition with your picture on it.
Yeah, I have that one too.
It's in my favorites album, just to, in case I ever need it. I got a few people. I live it. I'm not going to go into any more detail than that, but I live it.
You live what?
The model.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's less forgivable? The fact that I voted for John McCain when I was 18, or the fact that I married a white woman?
John McCain.
Buff. Yeah, definitely John McCain.
I was 18. I apologize. I was
When we're talking about these white women, Travis, who's been in the chat, Travis Tyree, he refers to these evil progressive white women as the daughters of the witches we didn't burn. So I don't know where he got that from, but I got that from him. So that's, I'm going to credit him with it. If you're still here, you could say where you got that from. But that's what we know. People that know, they know. Like, I've got I'm white, barely, but I am
white.
And that's questionable.
So you're Turkish. Most of the people I know are white. You know, like my mother. And you know, like clearly, I'm not talking about them. My mom doesn't need to be stopped. Else I wouldn't be here. So it's like, we know people who know, they know. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's the college educated ones that are like in their early 30s that are living in the suburbs. I mean, you know exactly. Everyone knows the person. Yeah.
Right. Progressive.
A few people that I know, like, that are friends of friends that are like the riding with, like, I've thought about sharing that picture on some of their idiotic social media commentary, but I just don't know if I need to start those bridges just yet.
Oh, I get you. That's fair.
It's a little close to home, you know?
Slap it on
the face. Also, basically the men, the progressive men, are still just white women also. So they fall into the category. That's it's true. Not far off.
Well, yeah,
the balls have been clipped.
If you stop white women, you're going to be pretty much eliminating HR departments. So
that's right. Exactly.
that's the Lord's work.
Let's get to the root.
That's the Lord's work.
All right, guys. Well, we're a little over time. We never formally discussed how long we would go, but I do got to get out of here. But
3 hours.
Guys, plug away your Twitters and podcasts and everything.
I'm gonna
go first. Are you gonna go last, Nick? All right. So I'm Fat Comic Dave on Twitter, and then the Tower Power Hour. Me and Toad host that, and Nick is also on there. We host that at Tower Power Hour on YouTube and all the other places you can find it. And then Tower Gang Pod on Twitter. I think Toad can probably speak to what's coming up next. But, you know, if you haven't seen us, we have Nick on. We have Jose Galison on. We have Reed Coverdale and Clint Russell from Liberty Lock Pod. We got all these guys coming on, and we shoot the shit kind of like we did in here today with y'all. We can get – I think the way Jose puts it is we can do pee-pee poo-poo, and then we can do big brain time. So that's how we like to – we kind of like to have a, you know, 80-20 on that with pee-pee poo-poo. Big brain.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes the ratio is a little bit different, but
it depends on who we got.
Well, yeah, I'm Toad, Anarcho Toad on Twitter. As Fat Dave said, I'm on the Tower Power Hour. And we got coming up on our next show on Tuesday next week, because I have a fantasy football draft on Monday. And Tuesday, we got Tho Bishop and Neocon Remover. And I'm pretty sure Nick is going to be with us on that one, right?
Sweet.
Yes, and, I will be.
Yeah. And then we got Justin O'Donnell the following night. So we're doing two episodes next week. And we're going to have a 9/11 special, which I don't know if we're revealing what's going to be on that. We got Spike Cohen coming up after that. Oh, and before that, we have a couple other episodes too with the philosopher, and we got the Hopping guys coming on, Jared and Taylor. So we got a bunch of good stuff coming up, and we're going to
say the dates. So Neocon Remover and Tho Bishop the 31st, Philosopher on the September 6th,
yeah.
The Hopian gentleman on September 8th, Spike Cohen on September 13th.
Jared Taylor, you said his name was?
We're going to be making a Jared Taylor joke. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And Justin O'Donnell is on 9/1.
Oh, okay. Dude, okay. The day after. Okay.
We've gotten so packed because, like, we just everybody wants to get, is trying to get on, and then we're like,
we're big stars.
It's like,
oh, and I should probably tell. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Kind
no,
of
I'll just say we feel like big stars, but we're just fucking retards, and just basically there's
people that are refreshed. Yeah.
Yes. So next Wednesday for our show, we've got the big who would win in a fight MMA bracket among political figures. And that's going to be El Pulpo, me, Tyler, Mike.
Oh, hell yeah.
Kelly Patrick, who's a MMA commentator, martial arts guy. And then Adam Nutter, comedian, libertarian.
Oh, he's great.
So, we're going to. I'll send you guys the brackets, and actually, Fat Dave is in one of the brackets is heavyweights. We've got J.B. Pritzker. Yeah, we've got like our governor in Illinois. We've got Rosie.
Oh no,
we froze.
Oh no,
shit!
Oh,
no. You're here. You're here. There you are.
We heard Rosie O.
You froze on Rosie O'Donnell.
Okay,
so that's Rosie O'Donnell is going to be in there. Let me pull up. I got the fights right here. Let's see who Fat Dave is fighting. We've got heavyweights. Geriatric division, beta male division, the wild card round, and then women's division / men over 65. So Fat Dave is fighting James Comey. That's gonna be a good one.
Oh, okay. Comey's like a 2 feet taller than you.
Is it Fat Dave as in actually me, or Fat Dave as in who I portray?
Because that's your avatar.
My avatar could beat up anybody, dude. He has 30 seconds. He has 30 seconds of basically prize fighter in him. But after that, like, he has no stamina, but 30 seconds, he will fuck anybody up.
Well, dude, I mean, James Comey is like 70, and, you know, he's going to use a lot of oxygen being that big of a man. So I've got Fat Dave. I'll give my full analysis. We're going to actually do like a real analysis of this, like, as martial
artists. So great.
Martial artists, libertarians, or as I call them, martial autists. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, wait, James Comey. I thought you meant James Corden.
Oh, yeah.
They're both
no FBI man.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Hell yeah.
But awesome. Yeah, no, it's gonna be fun. So
awesome.
All right, guys, we're gonna get out of here. I'm gonna end the broadcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
That's fun.
Peace. We'll see y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. Thank you.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.